One of the biggest questions bearing down on Baylor football this offseason has nothing to do with next year. Instead, it has to do with four-star quarterback Austin Novosad and whether or not he'll choose Baylor over Ohio State. Where will Novosad go and where is he in the current process? This is Locked On Baylor.
You are Locked On Baylor, your daily podcast on the Baylor Bears, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Monday, everybody, and welcome to Locked On Baylor. I am Drake Toll, thanking you for making Locked On Baylor your first listen every single day. Again, in the summer months of June and July, we are live on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and it is just myself today, flying solo, no co-host, because I have a lot of thoughts right now on Austin Novosad and what's currently going on with the Baylor football program and in recruiting in the class of 2023 and how he plays into that. So if you haven't heard of Novosad, he's out of Dripping Springs and the guy is an elite quarterback. He's been on this show and starred at the Elite 11 regionals in Dallas. So we talked to John Garcia Jr., who was the director of recruiting at Sports Illustrated, and said that Novosad was one of the most impressive guys that he saw in Dallas at that regional and got the invite to the finals of the Elite 11. Currently a four-star according to 24/7 Sports. He's the number 13 quarterback in the country, number 45 player in Texas, 259th nationally. He's got offers from Baylor, Colorado, Houston, Kansas, to name a few, but the big one right now is Ohio State. Granted, Novosad is already committed to the Baylor Bears. He's given the verbal to Sean Bell, and Sean has done a really great job of recruiting him and trying to get him into this program. But Ohio State has picked up the phone and started calling, and how do you turn down the horseshoe? How do you turn down Columbus? How do you turn down Ryan Day, an opportunity to play in the college football playoff on a team that's already been there, and the money in NIL that comes with that? So if you're Austin Novosad, right, put yourself in this guy's shoes. You're 17 years old. You get that call from Baylor University, and it seems as though Baylor was on the forefront of the recruiting for Novosad and was right there at the beginning, and he has paid a lot of respect to that. But then the other guy calls. And he doubles the offer. He triples the offer. And at some point in time, there's the crossroads, right? Where there is being committed to something. And the other crossroad that comes right across it is, what is the best fit? What is the best financial decision? What is the best decision for your future that cuts across the middle? There's the loyalty. And then there's, what do I have to do for me in the middle? And at some point in time, that middle bar crosses over loyalty. And it just makes sense to make a different call. For Novosad, you can only imagine, I don't know the numbers officially, but you can only imagine the offer at Ohio State, the opportunity at Ohio State, what they're giving him at Ohio State is going to be more than what he'd get at Baylor. Now, we can sit here as Baylor fans, and I think it's a point we've made on this show quite a bit, that you don't want a guy who is looking at multiple schools trying to compare prices. You don't want the kid who's a five-star linebacker from Louisiana who's checking, okay, LSU will give me 1.3, Nebraska will give me 800K, I'll go to Alabama, they'll give me 500K, Baylor, they'll give me like 10K maybe in a great meal plan. You don't want a football player who's comparing those prices to come to Baylor, right? Because Jalen Petrie wasn't that guy. Terrell Bernard wasn't that guy. Some of the stars in recent Baylor football memory were not those guys. They weren't searching to make a buck. They were team-driven. They were Baylor-driven, and that's why they came here. You want the same thing from Novosad, but at the same time, that same crossroad meets itself when you realize there is the loyalty, there's the tradition, there's Baylor doing things the right way. But then money comes into play too, and you got to respect the fact that a kid's got to do what's right for him. So where's the good news for your Monday? Happy Father's Day yesterday, by the way. Where's the good news when it comes to Austin Novosad and his opportunity or chances to come to Baylor? How about the roster outlook? Here's point one. If I've got to sell Austin Novosad on Baylor University, I am first looking at the quarterback roster output. Ohio State right now, think about C.J. Stroud. They've got a couple of freshmen in McCord, who was a five-star. Brown, who was a four-star. They got Leroux. They got Andrade. They got Shuganov. They got Hoke. They right now have seven quarterbacks on their roster. Out of the class of 2022, they took two guys, McCord being a five-star. I'm sure you guys have heard of him. He's done quite a lot of stuff in the offseason. Kyle McCord, who is going to be effectively their guy. Now, granted, he's, okay, put it together. Class of 21, so he'll still be there for 2-3 years after Novosad takes the knot if he goes to Ohio State. Whereas folks. I don't know if you've seen the Baylor roster when it comes to quarterbacks right now, but you are effectively with, let's put it like this. Baylor's down to two quarterbacks they trust to put on the football field next season. You have Blake Shapen, who was a three-star quarterback, by the way, coming out of high school. Nobody really thought anything great from the football standpoint. Instead, it was baseball for him, and now he's rose to the occasion, obviously. And then Kyren Drones, the four-star guy who's just been a star in high school and now already looks great in practice for Baylor. But that's two quarterbacks. That's two Ohio State has seven quarterbacks. Austin Novosad, come here, wait in line, best of luck. At Baylor, you have two guys who, you know, will be gone, and you get the opportunity, maybe you redshirt a year, you get the opportunity to start for 2 or 3 years at the university. Point one and selling point one for me for Austin Novosad is the fact that from a roster standpoint solely, he's got a much better opportunity to play and play pretty soon at Baylor, whereas at Ohio State, you're competing against five, six, seven guys who are all 4 or 5 star guys, Kyle McCord, who are the best or top in their class. You don't have to do that at Baylor, and you shouldn't have to when you have the talent of Austin Novosad. Point two, this one's tough. At Baylor, I truly believe that friction, right? The unstoppable object, what is it? Immovable object, unstoppable force, yada, yada, something like that. At Ohio State, there's a lot to get through to be able to get on the field. So your draft stock could be, you've got a much better ceiling, right? Because you can get on the field and make it happen. You're going to be in a great shape for the NFL draft, but it's first getting through the weeds and fighting your way through 5, 6, 7 quarterbacks. Whereas at Baylor, your draft odds are a lot higher because those obstacles in the way of you being on the football field are far, far less. If I'm Novosad, that's a major selling point to me. I want to go to a university where I can step on the field pretty quickly, have an opportunity to play at a high Division I level, the Power 5 level like Baylor, and an opportunity to win conference championships. And the Bears have done that 3 times in the last 10 years and did it last season in year 2 under Dave Aranda. Not only that, Sean Bell is your quarterback coach. Jeff Grimes is your offensive coordinator. Eric Mateos is manning the guys up front. And I'll make the case even here too. Say Jeff Grimes takes a head coaching job in the next 2 seasons. That's not out of the picture, because Jeff Grimes certainly deserves that in the realm of college football. He's shown that at Baylor and at BYU. In those cases, great. Sean Bell's not going anywhere. The guy who recruited Novosad, my third point to keep Austin Novosad, is the guy who you've built the closest relationship is never going anywhere. Sean's brother's on staff. Sean's entire family lives in Waco or in the Waco area. They pretty much have for the last 2 decades, and there's not a chance or a job in this world that Sean Bell would take outside of Baylor in the next 5 years. It's just not going to happen. So if I'm Austin Novosad and I hear the fact that going to Baylor, I'm competing against right now two quarterbacks on roster. I go to Ohio State, I'm competing against 7 guys. There's selling point A to go to Baylor. Number two, if I'm looking at draft position, NIL, yeah, Ohio State has a much higher ceiling for draft and NIL. At the same time, the obstacles are far less for you to be able to get on the field in front of scouts and get drafted with valuable playing time. A lot more playing time in the cards at Baylor to get you drafted. From a draft standpoint, give me Baylor. That's point two. And point three, Sean Bell. Committed to the university, committed to you, as he's already shown, and he's going to be the guy, even if Jeff Grimes goes, pretty decent odds. Sean Bell's the new offensive coordinator. He's your OC. Certainly not going to change in the category of who you're around coaching staff-wise. Baylor gives you a lot of continuity in that department and in the others. There are 3 main things that I think keep Austin Novosad in the conversation for Baylor, even when I see people tweet out, oops, Austin Novosad got offered by Ohio State. There he goes. You know, fun while we thought we could get him. Thanks for committing. See you later. I just wouldn't jump ship yet on a kid like Novosad. And if he does go to Ohio State, sweet. Best of luck. See you later. That's the nature of the beast. Best of luck. See you later. Jalen Petrie was committed to Baylor. Terrell Bernard was committed to Baylor. Siaki Ika right now, one of the leaders of the team. What is he? He's committed to Baylor. Connor Galvin. The list of names goes on and on. Those are the guys you want. You don't want the guy who's, you know, if you're committing somewhere else, go. Have fun. That's great. Baylor recruits for the guys that want to be a Baylor. And I think, I really do, Novosad will be one of those guys. I also think It's a great time to get invested into Bet Online. I don't know if you guys have gone online and checked the odds right now at Bet Online. Bet Online has sick odds for everything. Number one source for all sports betting needs. Major League Baseball, league reviews, this year's NHL playoffs. BetOnline's continued source for all your sports wagering information, live betting, esports, scores. Right now, you can go bet on Baylor over under 8.5, 7.5 wins, something like that at betonline.net. Make some free money there. Bet on the Big 12 champion. The futures are all out. Baylor's, I think, fourth in the Big 12 right now. All of those on BetOnline. You can go make those picks for Baylor to win. If you think that's the case, at BetOnline and make a little bit of dough on the side. BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check out your favorite sports and events, including MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right. The next thing that I want to get into is a little bit of preseason football, because apparently it's never too early, and Lindy's Magazine has released their preseason top 25. The first thing to note before we even get to Baylor is Texas. The Longhorns are number 25 in the country in their preseason poll, which honestly, one of the lower rankings I've seen for Texas this season, so I will accept that. They have a really good offense on paper. They have a okay defense on paper. Texas fans, come after me, but put them at 25. It's like a broken record. How many times has Texas been ranked in the preseason in the last 10 years? It's probably all 10 years. Up and down the rankings, though, the highest ranked Big 12 team right now at number 9, the Oklahoma State Cowboys, led by Spencer Sanders, notable not good quarterback. Your Baylor Bears, though, come in at the number 12 position, and according to Lindy's, this also comes with, though, I want to get into the preseason ranking for Baylor and bowl projections. Big 12 race is a tough nut to crack, according to Lindy's. At the moment, giving the handful of teams all within a couple of spots of one another, Baylor gets the benefit of the doubt here as the league's reigning champions, because their schedule is treacherous. Those stats are fickle year to year. That being said, only one Big 12 team ranked ahead of Dave Aranda's Bears coming out of the spring in 24/7 sports rankings. However, Lindy's would rank Oklahoma at 10 and Oklahoma State at 9 and put two teams above your Baylor Bears. So Lindy's gives Baylor the nod at 12. And I mean, okay, you know, top 15 team going into next season, I think I would accept that for Baylor. But here we have the preseason bowl ranking, projection, whatever you want to call them. And right now, 24/7 Sports has your national championship game. As I bet you could name like five teams. There's a five-team pool that could go to the national championship almost every year. And I'm sure you can name the two teams that they put right here or in your five, get them. It's Alabama and Ohio State, not your Baylor Bears. And that's because they have right now in the Fiesta Bowl college football playoff, Clemson versus Ohio State. And in the Chick-fil-A Bowl, also a college football playoff semifinal, is Alabama and USC, because why wouldn't it be? Lincoln Riley goes to USC, and in year one, they're going to the playoff. Granted, they have to play in the Pac-12. They're not going to have a ton of teams they have to get through to be able to have great success this season. So, fine, take it. Rose Bowl, Michigan versus Oregon. Decently intriguing matchup, I guess. Cotton Bowl, Texas A&M and Houston, which sounds just like a nightmare for A&M. Like, if they don't make the college football playoff and then they have to play against Houston, notable A&M, a notable team that just doesn't really, I get a heavy feeling Jimbo Fisher does not want to be embarrassed by a smaller team. And I don't think Houston would do that to them, but gosh, I wish they will. Orange Bowl, NC State versus Notre Dame. A lot of people high on NC State going into this season. And now we boil it down to the Sugar Bowl. 24/7 Sports, your Baylor Bears, defending champions in the Sugar Bowl, likely, you know, toward the top of the favorites in the Big 12, just because you have, you know, four of your five offensive linemen coming back. You have a returning quarterback who won a Big 12 championship game for you last season. You get a pretty good chunk of your defensive core on the line spot coming back as well. You would think 24/7 would give Baylor at least a look, and they did not. Oklahoma State is, hello, the Sugar Bowl pick for 24/7. They have them playing Georgia next season in lieu of a college football playoff for the Bulldogs. And so, okay, Oklahoma State, Spencer Sanders, that's your pick. You had to put money right now, today, 24/7 Sports, if you're actually taking this seriously and want to put a pick in for the Sugar Bowl, for the Big 12 champions, it's going to be Oklahoma State with Spencer Sanders. Again, notable, not great quarterback, especially against Baylor. Had 7 combined interceptions against the Bears last season. But okay, now we get to where they did put the Baylor Bears, because certainly they were on the list. And Baylor, This is the most shocking part of this is not Baylor being in it. Baylor is here in the Texas Bowl, so not the Alamo, but instead the Texas. They've given your Bears the nod. In the Texas Bowl, they're slated to play Auburn, who I just don't think is going to win six games. Auburn is in the SEC, where they were not very good last season. I don't see them being very good this next season. And their question, for per 24/7, is Auburn getting to six wins in the postseason this fall? That's the million-dollar question this summer for a program most are projecting to finish near the bottom of the SEC, which they should, during Brian Harsin's second campaign. As for defending Big 12 champion Baylor, sliding all the way to the Texas Bowl would mean missing out on the New Year's Six and other programs finishing ahead of the Bears in the conference, namely Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. Granted, I'll give them this. It's kind of a funky deal where it feels like in the Big 12. Hello. You don't have the opportunity to go to that many big bowls, because if you don't go to the college football playoff or a New Year's Six, you're going to the Alamo Bowl. And that's just okay. I know it's the Alamo Bowl. And they have Oklahoma and Utah projected there. So my thoughts on all that, please. The Texas Bowl against Auburn, almost more embarrassing than the fact you have Baylor in the Texas Bowl is the fact you put Auburn in the Texas Bowl against them, who's not going to make a bowl game this season. And then you put Oklahoma and Utah in the Alamo Bowl. I just really do hate the fact that there's not, if you don't make the New Year's Six, the playoff in the SEC, you're probably going to still play in like a decent bowl, right? A bowl that's like pretty well known. Whereas in the Big 12, you get to go to either the Alamo Bowl or the Texas Bowl or the Liberty Bowl. And then past that, it's really, you really start tanking. But that's neither here nor there, aside from the fact that I don't see Baylor with what they have coming back, being in the Texas Bowl next season. I would not consider that to be a fail, right? A failure of a season. And I would love your thoughts on that too. What do you think? You think it's a failed season if Baylor makes the Texas Bowl next year? I can't say that I would be in that boat. But at the same time, I don't think that's what Dave Aranda's shooting for. Dave Aranda, obviously, not keen on shooting for like a bowl point as his goal, but even still, I'm not positive that that's exactly where Dave Aranda wants to be, is the Texas Bowl next season. And I don't plan on the Baylor Bears being there. You would hope, with as many pieces as they have back and enough holes filled in the spots where you lose Terrell Bernard and Jalen Petrie and JT Woods and Tyquan Thornton and Tressen Ebner and the list goes on, Abram Smith, the list goes on, that they can plug those holes enough to win 10 games, 11 games next season. If you win 10 games, you go to the Texas Bowl. I have so many more questions, especially if you're playing Auburn, who's not going to a bowl game. Now, the last thing that I want to get into today is baseball. Man, I have been high on baseball. I've told you all that I am currently on Cape Cod, covering the Hyannis Harbor Hawks of the Cape Cod Baseball League, and having a blast doing it, by the way. The Harbor Hawks, as of time of recording, are 2-3-1, kind of a funky record. They have a doubleheader. Well, when you're listening to this, it will have been yesterday. We'll see how that goes for them against the Harwich Mariners. All that is to say, I'm kind of on a baseball high right now. We are six games in, and I'm already very tired. There's a lot of baseball going on right now. But on the Baylor side of things, there's a player, there's Zach Volker, who's on the Hyannis team. His brother, Matt Volker, played at Baylor, which has been fun, a neat little connection, a couple of Baylor connections up here as well. We've talked a lot about Mitch Thompson and Baylor baseball and what this means, and I would love to give some of my thoughts on the Mitch Thompson hire. The first of those thoughts being, I am pretty shocked, actually. I really am pretty shocked with this hire, in a good way. I am good shocked, but how many times, I pitched this to someone the other day, how many times do you see someone come to a company, say you get a role as a boss at a company, and one of your hires for a managerial position, you get to hire and fire managers for four different departments, and one of those departments, you get a resume from a guy who worked at the company 10 years ago, but kind of left in a funky fashion, had really good, you know, full body of work, his resume is solid, but now you have to dip back into this old regime that you're not really privy to and pull a guy who used to work for the company. Things are a lot different at this place now because I'm running the show. You're running the show in the hypothetical, and you're hiring a guy in this scenario, in Mitch Thompson, from old Baylor. You're going to be really reluctant to do that. And I know Mac Rhodes had to have been. I'm sure he was thorough in the search. And the reason that that's so clear is because of how long it took to make this call, even after Thompson's season was over. Do I believe that Mitch Thompson was the first call Mac Rhodes made? I don't know, obviously, but I don't think so. I also would like to think the offer was extended to other coaches before it was extended to Mitch Thompson, just because of that there. Not that Mack Rhodes wouldn't give Mitch Thompson the time of day, wouldn't give him a true nod, wouldn't do thorough research, but the fact that you're taking a guy from old Baylor, which the university is trying to be separate from as much as possible, and calling him and saying, okay, you've got a shot. That comes with a lot of gumption from Mack Rhodes. You've got to be really humble, really trusting to call someone from 10 years ago and say, you have a legitimate shot in coming back. So to have made this call, I really believe shows so much about Mack Rhodes and the trust that he has in Mitch Thompson, because it's not just anybody from old Baylor can come back into this new Mack Rhodes era that has been so successful, so consistent, so just as a whole top to bottom, building one of the best athletic programs in the nation. You don't want to topple that by bringing in someone from an era where you don't necessarily want to remember, not from a win standpoint, baseball-wise, but from a culture standpoint at Baylor. Things just weren't great then, or they're not what they are now. So if you're tracking with me, this was a hire that Mack Rhodes really had to dig deep into his bag to make. I'm obviously glad he did it, and Baylor's it's going to pay dividends in the end for Baylor because the decision was made. That gets to my kind of my second opinion on the whole deal. This was the best hire out there. Mitch Thompson has the experience of going out and recruiting guys across the nation at small schools that you've never heard of, players that you've never heard of. They're not household names, bringing them to McLennan, turning them into JUCO household names, pumping them back out to these colleges where they become household names. I already on Cape Cod have covered three or four different McLennan Community College players or guys that have gone from MCC to an Oklahoma State, a Texas, because that's where Mitch Thompson's been pumping out guys. He has a caliber of player, even at a community college, a JUCO school, that are capable and ready to play baseball at the Power 5 level and do it successfully. He's turning out that kind of talent. You bring that guy to Baylor, I'm wholly confident there were four or five guys from Mitch Thompson's roster last season who would have started at Baylor had they come and transferred here. In the JUCO world, you're playing the transfer portal. You're playing grades. You're playing guys who had gone to Alabama, couldn't make it the first couple of weeks, decided to go JUCO. They go to McLennan. You pump them back out, and they go to a school like Arkansas, and they're playing baseball there. That's what Mitch Thompson has been doing for years now. So if anybody's going to understand the transfer portal or how wild college athletics has gotten now, it's those JUCO guys who really been playing with almost no rules for years now. He's got such a keen understanding of that. When you bring that to the Baylor level, you can be so good so quickly. If you want the opportunity to win and win fast at Baylor, Mitch Thompson is the best option. Now it comes down to, who does Mitch Thompson hire as his assistants? That's something we haven't really spoken much about. We asked Max Garner about that last week after the hire was made, and it's still to be seen who he goes with. And my big question, I don't have an answer or an opinion on this one. My big question, though, is, does Mitch Thompson go after a successor? Does he bring in someone to his staff who's younger, early 30s, early 40s, brings him on? Thompson's here for 7 or 8 years, hangs up the hat, and then he's got somebody waiting in the weeds to come. Waiting in the weeds, is that a thing? Waiting to come and take over this role. That, to me, would be the best option out of all of this, to bring someone in, learn under Thompson for 7 or 8 years, hone their coaching skills, then take over Baylor and kind of be an extension of what Mitch Thompson was at the university. I hope that's the case, but in all, I'm really excited about this hire because of Mack Rhodes stepping out, pulling old Baylor back to Baylor, number one. Number two, Mitch Thompson's ability to recruit the transfer portal and bring in guys from different schools at an efficient rate. And three, the ability, and I think, I really do, the ability for Mitch Thompson to realize bringing in a successor will behoove him. I see him as someone who understands that and will do that. And I can't wait. You feel there's this palpable energy around Baylor baseball now. Things are exciting with the Mitch Thompson hire being made. Speaking of exciting, I'm excited that you make Locked On Baylor your first listen every single day. Happy Monday. Happy belated Father's Day. Coming up later this week, we'll be talking to Max Muncy. Yeah, Max Muncy's coming on the show to talk about Mitch Thompson, so that's kind of fun. And then our friend, John Garcia Jr., will also be joining us. That's Wednesday and Friday this week. Thank you again for watching Locked On Baylor or listening wherever you get your podcasts. Tell a friend if you enjoyed today's show. This has been, and it always will be. Thanks, folks, for joining. Locked On Baylor.